Son, Holy Spirit, one God, amen. So hopefully a short talk today because the baby is not cooperating. So today we're going to talk about the concept of time. So question for you, do you measure your life in moments or minutes? How many moments? How many minutes? How many people measure in moments? How many in minutes? Nobody measures. Guys, aren't you guys all science and math people? Okay. So let's talk about the two concepts. So we're going to use two Greek words that both of them mean time, but have different meanings. So have you guys heard of the first word? Chronos? Okay. So this is kind of your minute measurement of time, the kind that we use. So, you know, I'll see you in half an hour. You know, this project's going to take 2 weeks. I'm done school in 3 years on this date in June or in April or whatever. So that's kind of your typical sort of idea of time that we tend to use here on Earth. There was one of the Greek gods named Kronos. I don't think you guys really care that he used to devour his children, so we'll skip that part. But keep in mind, Kronos equals kind of quantity. So it's that idea of there's 24 hours in a day, there's 7 days a week, there's the 60 minutes per hour and all that stuff. So this is really the idea of the clock and what we typically use to make arrangements with people. The opposite of this is kairos, and can someone read the definition of it? So a more simpler way is to kind of think there's no sort of math or minute or numerical number when you're using this version. This is really when we measure things kind of like in seasons, but again, not seasons of months, seasons of like a period in your of time in your life, for example, or something that you're going through. So I want to say it's God's currency of time, because God's not really in the time where we say, like, God's always present, if we can agree on that. So, you know, if the average lifespan is like 75 years, God's there kind of throughout that. He doesn't have just that 75 years or a specific amount of time. So this one, just remember, this one focuses more on quality of time. So what's happening in that time, whereas the other one is quantity. So that's more think numbers. And chronos, the word chronological comes from it. So just remember again, it's that idea of putting a number on the concept of time. It's kind of a really quick just sort of way to look at the difference. So one is quantity, one is quality. One is really the idea of a minute, and one is the moment. And that's why I kind of tried to ask at the beginning, is how do you measure, you know, your life, or how do you really assess it? And so is the idea is that your life was a constant schedule, and you know, it was working from 9 to 5, or you did your whatever time, how many hours of school you had, and lab time and homework, and they're, you know, divided in that way. Or when you look back and you're, you know, old and crippled and not many people around you and a lot of your friends are gone, are you looking back and kind of remembering moments, or are you more just remembering, you know, I used to work for 60 years or something? Chronos, we said, it's the idea of chronology, and kairos is, think of more of, it's the idea of an opportunity or a significance of time, whereas chronos is just time's really passing, and you can put a number on it. So three concepts that are just going to tie the lesson together. Time is marked by God moments or God seasons. There's two books in the Old Testament by women, who are they? Named after women, I should say. Did I hear Ruth? So Esther and Ruth, exactly. So in 40 seconds or less, someone break down for me the story of Esther. Okay, was she a Jew or a Gentile? Jew, okay. Single or married? Start from the bottom, single, okay. Who did she marry? Was the king married before? And then what happened? Yeah, exactly. He was married to Queen Vashti. He's like, yo, let's have this big party. All the drinks come out. And then he's like, yo, dance. And she's like, no, I'm not down for that. She takes a moral stance, takes to the side. And he basically just kicks her out and has a beauty pageant. And chooses his next wife. And she hides the fact that that she's Jewish. She isn't really broadcast it. She's originally an orphan. Who's Mordecai? Uncle. Excellent. And what's his role in the story? You guys are doing really well. What's his role in the story? Exactly. So there was this evil man, Haman. He asked the king to take care. Yes, his name. it was actually like his name is associated to evil. So I saw somewhere that when the Jewish people would read his name, they'd actually hiss after it, just because it was like really tied to evil. So Haman asked the king to kind of get rid of Jewish people, and Esther wasn't going to say anything, but her uncle Mordecai said, like, you know, this is your time. You need to step up and ask the king for a favor. And so she kind of said, if it pleases the king, you know, can you please, you know, not kill all the Jewish people, because I'm actually Jewish. So that's something where you want to say that she was in that moment. It wasn't an idea of, you know, on February 19th, whatever year it was at this time, I'm going to go see the king. But it was this idea of, in that moment, she had to act, or in that season, she had to be brave. A typical question we often see too, like say at conventions or something, is, you know, what's the best age for marriage or something? And so again, it's that idea of, I want to put a number on something. We learn a lot in school to be very, like, have checklists and have a method and all that stuff. So we like to have specific numbers. So then if something goes wrong, we say, well, I asked Abuna and he said, like, I don't know, 25.5 was the best age, and then it didn't go well, and then this happened. So we like to be able to say, but I followed the rules. But it's again this idea of, you need to look at kind of everything in the big picture of, what season am I in right now? Like, where does God have me in this moment? And not this idea of, you know, in this, what are we, third or second week of July, you know, what's my plan for this week? But more, what is the season that I'm passing through right now? Is it just the idea of, like, even being a student, what am I supposed to do with this season? Or how can I turn this moment into a God moment from what I'm going through? And any point in time can be a God moment. So just because you think your life is so routine or boring, or you're going through a hard phase, that's still a God season that God's putting you through, or that you can use, you know, for the best. So the next one is, God has a reason for your season. So again, if you're going through something like dark, lonely, it could be a boring season, like I said, you just, the next 7 years I'm going to be in school, this is just going to be a time period that I got to get rid of, and then my good life will begin, then I'll start having fun, then life will be good. Then surprise to you, after the 7 years, it's still you, it's still your life. So if you're still going to mark it by specific, like, timelines, then you're going to find life just really mundane and not really getting anywhere. So you're often going to find not a lot of joy. You might feel that you're in limbo right now, so maybe you're looking for a job, maybe there was a failed relationship, maybe things aren't going well, like, just with friends or with family, or you're starting a new life, or you had to move somewhere. any sort of change and you just feel what is this? I'm just in limbo. This is lost time. It doesn't count. But even limbo is really preparing you for the next season. And then finally, this is the last one and kind of my favorite one is, so God places the right person in the right place at the right time for the right purpose. So just take like 30 seconds to think about that. Might be someone in your life who no longer talk to or is, no longer see because whatever, something happened. They passed away, you moved, you lost touch. Could be for any number of reasons. But maybe during the passage of time where you had them in your life, things were different or that was preparing you for something. So take a minute to just think like, who have I lost touch with or who maybe was in my life for a specific period of time for a purpose and is no longer there. And so remember that we have a perfect God. So he doesn't sit there and say, oopsies, I totally miscalculated putting that person in this person's way or in that person's life. Sometimes we may go a direction that isn't God's way, so that's our own doing. So if all the flashlights are there and the red signals of like, stop, stop, bad idea, not the best person to be friends with or to get into a relationship with, and then things go downhill and then we say, God, why would you put that person in my life? This made it worse. That's not generally God's doing. But God doesn't really, he doesn't have whiteout. He doesn't need to use his backspace on the computer. He doesn't make mistakes. So if he's put someone in your life, and can you guys think, does it happen to you guys that you feel like somebody's just temporarily been placed in your life, and for whatever reason, you lose touch or something happens, and then they're no longer kind of there actively, or you guys were really, really close friends, and all of a sudden sort of over time drifted away. So these are kind of what I call temporary characters in your life, and then you kind of go back and think, wow, that person really helped me during this time, or that situation really prepared me for the next thing that was coming. So just keep in mind that, again, for seasons, so don't put a time on it. Don't say, this semester I'm going to be friends with this person, but come April I'm going to ditch them and go to this person starting September. Or I'm going to be friends with this person at work, and in the new year, I'll try this group of people or something. So God does have a role with that. I think personal planning devil can also probably place people in your life. So there does need to be some discernment there. But oftentimes, if God's placing someone, there's a purpose that he's doing that. And sometimes we don't want the person there. Sometimes it may be somebody at work, or it may be a classmate that we have to work with on a project. I used to hate when the teacher would like randomly assign classmates, or you don't get to like pick your group. But sometimes it would actually work out better, because when you pick your friends, maybe there's always one person who slacks off, or maybe you guys aren't as productive as you generally would be if it was someone else. So you never know why God's putting someone in your life. It could be the randomest thing. It could be the person at the Tim Hortons counter, and they say something to you, and you're like, oh, that was really, surprising, or I didn't expect that, or something. And you might be the person God's placing in somebody's life. So remember that, too, is if you're having a bad day, somebody's probably having a worse day. So even if you just ask the person making your coffee how their day is going, or say something nice to them, or just do something out of the ordinary that you wouldn't normally do, sometimes we have that voice inside that says like, okay, stop and help this person, or stop and do this, or even if it's just opening the door for somebody. But don't be selfish in the sense of just expect God to put people in your life. You might be the person that needs to, that is placed for somebody at the right moment. And we all hear those stories in the wazas where like, an abuna will randomly visit someone and that person will be so in need, or will have said to God like, if you love me, a priest will visit me without me saying something. And then all of a sudden, Abuna will say, like, I accidentally visited this hospital room, and the person, really was waiting for an Abuna but hadn't called one. Or those kind of things do happen, and I don't know that it's coincidence or luck, I think God definitely has a role to play. So God's not sitting there with like a big chessboard and like moving characters around, but at the same time, he sees it all. So he's trying to ensure that everything that you do, if you're doing it in the right path and for his glory, you're going in the right season, and he's always preparing you for the next one. So there's no, like I said, sort of wasted time if you feel like I'm not really doing anything now, or you know, I'm wasting my summer, or what a useless time in my life, this is so boring, why do I have to do this placement, or why can't I find a job now, or why can't I find a partner? You don't know what's going on for that reason and what God's preparing you for. So Chronos is used in the Bible 54 times, but Kairos is used 86 times. So when we read the Bible, our versions, we may not see it because we may just see the word time, but when you do go back in the previous or in the original translations, there would be the discrepancy. So a lot of times, this is why it's always good to make sure you're using a proper Bible with the proper translation, just because the words do make a difference. So just one of the example of the verses talks about really just using time wisely. We all get the same 24 hours. So that's one thing. Money doesn't change. Your health doesn't change. You know, I don't care if your parent is like the president or like the director of a hospital or doctor or whatever, or like a pharmacist or this and that and all the wonderful titles we all give people and are so obsessed with them. At the end of the day, everyone has the same 24 hours. So a monk has 24 hours, a saint has 24 hours, a abuna has 24 hours, your mom has 24 hours, you're like everybody, you have 24 hours. So it's what you do in that time, right? So at the end of the day, when you're gonna be accountable towards God, it's gonna be hard to say, well, I didn't have enough time, or I was really busy. Because you got the same time that everybody else got. If you think that people with money have a better advantage on you for whatever reason, time won't buy you money. Sorry, money won't buy you time. So it can buy you some convenience. Maybe you can save money because somebody's cooking for you, or you save money because somebody's doing the like housework for you. But time is the same for us. So everybody's got the same 24 hours. It's going to be how you use that time. So I think one of the issues we face is we often overschedule ourselves. So if we ask one of the youth, hey, can you do this? Or do you guys want to do this week? It's, oh, I'm so busy. And I'm thinking like 20 years ago, if my servant asked me, let's do something, what was I busy doing? Like I had an hour or two of homework and that was it. But now the youth always seem so busy. So it's an idea of like, are we managing our time differently? I know you guys have a big struggle because social media, like I'm old, that wasn't there in my days. Like, I don't even know if there was internet maybe in my days when I was a kid. So those things, I think you guys have more challenges for sure. Are you overscheduling yourself? You know, sports are great, but are you playing too many sports? Are you taking too many classes than you should be? Are you overcommitted with friends? And there's nothing wrong with any of that stuff, but how do you manage the 24 hours, right? So I have a lot of friends who have older kids, and every day of the week they have something. So one day it's soccer, one day it's like ballet, one day it's this, one day it's that. I don't know that kids need to be that overscheduled. And there's something wrong, I think, with our schedule, whether it's mine or yours. There's something wrong when we're busy 7 days a week and don't have time to do just even the simple things, like have dinner with our parents, or see if our parents need anything, or just come to church for a service that's not the liturgy that we're typically used to, or just do something out of the ordinary for somebody that takes a bit of time. So again, you know, see with yourself, and we've had the talks before on time management. If you guys want, we can do another one in the new year, like come September in the new school year. But it's how am I managing my 24 hours? Because remember, for everyone from a monk to myself, to a mom, to a dad, to a kid, everybody gets the same 24 hours. Can someone open Galatians 4:4? And somebody else, John 7:6. We're just going to do two verses about time and then... Sorry, I don't want to mess up the iPad. It's like with the summer for me, so can someone read Galatians 4:4? Four, please.
please, not all at once. You're going to wake up the baby.
Sure, let's start with them. Then Jesus said to them, "My time has not yet come, but your time is always ready." So when we read it in the regular English version, or if you guys are using, sometimes like you may look at like an English version, like a very simple English version if you're just Googling or something. Because we're interchanging the words time, we're not getting the benefit of understanding that there's a discrepancy between the chronos and the kairos. So the idea of quality of time versus quantity of time that we're using. So in this verse, for example, God's saying the time, so like the minute right now, it's not the right one, but your time is always. So there's always that opportunity, because remember, with God's time, it's an idea of an opportunity or a significant time or quality of time. So God's saying the opportunity is always there for you, but right now it's not my time, the specific time of what I'm sent here for to do. And Galatians 4:4, anybody? Amir? So it's the idea of fullness of time. So fullness of time, and some translations will say perfect time. So again, it's this idea of God doesn't look at his watch and say, oh, okay, it's July 13th. I'm not going to let Vivi have a good day today because today's Friday the 13th and it's bad luck. So I'm going to make sure Vivi spills her coffee, Vivi forgets her homework, you know, Vivi misses her bus and she has a bad day. And then so Vivi's sitting there going, wow, God's mad at me, gave me a bad day. What is all this timing? So it's again this idea of God doesn't operate with the calendar that we operate with. And so sometimes we always need to remember that, because if I don't get that job that I applied for, or if I don't get into that class, you guys still have to sign up for classes online, and it's like all strategical because you want a good schedule and a good teacher and all that. So if I don't get the teacher I want, or the class I want, or the exact schedule I want, again, maybe it's a blessing, or God's preparing me during that season for something. So maybe now I have a four-hour gap between classes, which I didn't want. Maybe I can do something, you know, positive with that. And so I'll just finish off with kind of an appropriate verse, and Jen had used it in the post on Facebook, but for everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. Any questions? Any comments even, or anybody want to share any sort of experience or example God may have used time for them, or like God does something for you and then later you understand it or it makes sense? Sorry, I'll do this because I think some people are in the back.
So we always say that the more time we spend with God, the more he will bless our time and allow us to do a lot of things to happen. But how can we, how do we feel that? Like, how can we actually know that? I sometimes I'll come to church and I'll realize I'm so behind in my studying and I'll regret it after. But how do we prevent ourselves from regretting that time that we spent with God when we're studying or doing something really important that needs to get done on time?
Anybody have the answer? Or have anything to add or thinking about? I think church just kind of reminds me of when you go to the gym. Sometimes you're really hesitant to go, but when you leave, you never regret going. You're like, wow, I really feel better. I really benefited from that. I think something else too is, if you come and you're here and you're making your to-do list and thinking about everything you have to do, and you're on your phone and whatever, and you're just here to be here, and you're okay, when's Manaula so that I can speed this up and get going, then were you really here, or were you just physically sort of present, and then your mind was still doing all that other stuff anyways, so you weren't really here? I think another thing too is just, sometimes Abuna would tell me just pray when you're on the bus. Pray while you're doing something. It could be just I'm driving. It could be I'm on the bus. I don't want to promote like crazy multitasking, so I'm not saying like pray while you're like on Facebook, whatever, but a lot of times, like I stayed with grade 11 and 12 for like a few years when in service, and I'd always remember I'd be like, hey, see you at church, and they're like, no, I'm so busy, I'm swamped with homework. And then you go on Facebook and it's like, or WhatsApp, and it's like, last seen 24 minutes ago, you know, last seen 8 minutes ago. Well, you're not that, and like you text them and they'll reply instantly. So maybe it goes back to a bit of the time management as well too, but I don't know if somebody wants to add anything else to that. God is what, sorry?
Like sitting with a notepad and he's like, Amir went to church today, and he checks, you know?
Yeah.
But we need to realize that like it doesn't benefit God for us to go to church, it benefits us.
Yeah.
And sometimes like I'll be like, okay, I'll wake up like, if I don't go to church, I'll wake up early at like 8 a.m. and like study, and then I like end up sleeping in or something, you know? So like, I don't know, like it's more, it should be more like, instead of, oh, like I'm gonna, like it's gonna benefit God, like no, it's gonna benefit me.
Yeah, true. I think with time management probably goes hand in hand as like the self-discipline idea. So I often think like, oh, God's gonna check off that list, like Blessie came to church, Mina didn't, like X or whatever, or like, oh, Buna's calling me, he's mad at me, I didn't go to church, or like my servant's messaging me, I'm gonna try to dodge her because she's gonna ask me why I wasn't at church. But like, we don't get like any sort of commission for who comes and who doesn't come. So like, at the end, it's really for you. Like, we love seeing you guys, we love having you guys all here, but at the end of the day, like it really is ultimately for you.
I do, and if you don't come, I'm gonna text you. Let there be a lesson to you all.